Speech in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We've come to Matthew 18. We have been in Matthew since Advent 1 of last year, since the last Sunday in November when it was all nice and cool and we were getting ready for Christmas. We've been hanging out in Matthew since Advent 1. We're about two-thirds of the way through the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll stay in the Gospel of Matthew for the next about 8 weeks until we get to Advent 1, which this year will be the first Sunday in December, and we will move into Mark's Gospel. Matthew's entire point of writing the Gospel is to show people that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that Jesus is a teacher. He has lessons that we should learn from and implement them and make them into our lives and figure out ways in which we should be based on the lessons that Jesus teaches. We've come to Matthew 18, like I've said, and Matthew 18 and Matthew 19 have some hard truths for us. And if you're wondering what led to this conversation for Jesus, the answer is nothing. Nothing led to this conversation. Essentially, what has happened is chapter 17, Matthew 17 is the transfiguration. Jesus comes up on the mountain, he's transfigured, they go back down. And then Matthew 18 starts, and it starts with the parable of the lost sheep. That God is like the shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of them goes missing. And God will find the one sheep, leaving behind the 99 to find the one missing sheep. And then he starts with, what do you do if a member of the church sins against you? And it is a hard reading, and next week is equally hard. Matthew 18 has the whole point of what to do when a member sins against you. The weeks are divided in the lectionary cycle, but in the Gospel of Matthew, this week and next week's Gospel reading happen in the same breath. So Jesus starts with his Gospel reading today where he says, what do you do if a member of the church sins against you? And the answer is you go to that person one-on-one and you say, you have sinned against me. It is possible that they don't know that they've sinned against you. Maybe they have caused some sort of hurt that they were unaware of. Maybe it was an unintentional pain. So you go and you talk to them. And if they come back and you reconcile with one another, it's all over. If they don't, you take two or three people and you go and you say, you've sinned against me. And if they still don't listen to you, you go and you tell the church. And the church here can be seen as a community. The word church appears, as I have said before, a lot in the New Testament. But it only appears twice in two specific readings in the Gospels, and they both appear in Matthew. The first you heard 2 weeks ago when Jesus says to his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And the disciples say, some say the prophet Elijah, some say John the Baptist, others a prophet still. And he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, and just in Matthew says, you are right, Peter, and upon you, you will be the rock on which I will build my church. That's the first time church is mentioned in the Gospel. We've come to Matthew 18. This is the second and last time in the entire Gospels that the word church is mentioned. And so it says, bring the church together. Tell the church or the community that you are a part of, this person has sinned against me. And if they still don't listen to the community or the church, then you treat them as a tax collector or a Gentile. Essentially, it means you cut them off. You do not have a relationship with them. You interact with them only when you are required to by the notion of your community. And then Jesus continues. Peter asks the question, which you'll hear next week. Lord, how often do I have to forgive these people of the church that sin against me? 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 7 times 70 times. And he talks about forgiveness more. If you guys are going to come to St. Stephen's, or if you're going to listen to my sermon next week, you'll hear much of the same repeated phrases that I'm going to say this week as I'm going to say next week. And that's because Matthew 18, specifically regarding this reading and next week's reading regarding forgiveness, has been used time and time and time again, mostly by perpetrators of violence and harm into Christian communities to say, you are required to forgive me. Forgive and forget. I'm sure everyone in this room has heard that. Most of you have probably been told that's a Christian virtue. You are to forgive and forget the sins that people have perpetrated against you. We say it in the Lord's Prayer, that forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. People who have stood in pulpits like this have said, if you don't forgive the sins of others, how can you expect Jesus to forgive your sins? These specific readings have been used to perpetrate harm in Christian communities. And I want to be very clear and say the notion forgive and forget is not biblical. It is not found anywhere in the Bible. It is not found in the Old Testament. It is not found in the New Testament. It is not found in any of the Gospels. Jesus never once says that. You are not called to forgive and forget. you are called to forgive. And we talk about that the next 2 weeks. And the reason that I'm going to repeat myself this week and next week if you come to St. Stephen's is because the notion of what Christian forgiveness is has been said over and over and over again in harmful ways, and I think hearing it twice is equally important. So when we talk about this, it is important to talk about what forgiveness is, but it is almost more important to talk about what forgiveness is not. So forgiveness is a letting go of the immediacy of the pain that that person has caused you, and it is giving that pain back to God. But here's what forgiveness is not. And it is Marie Fortune who wrote this. She's an author. She is a Catholic woman who wrote this in the wake of the Catholic scandals around the church, where people were told that they just needed to forgive and forget what the Catholic Church had done in certain instances and places. And as a Catholic woman, she said, that is not my Christian virtue or notion. And she wrote several books about it. And here is what she says. She says, forgiveness is not healing the wound lightly. It does not say peace when there is, in fact, no peace. Forgiveness is not condoning or pardoning the behavior. Forgiveness is not an expectation of a future relationship with the person who has caused you harm. And finally, she says, forgiveness is not always possible in this life. I'm going to read the list again. You'll hear it next week if you come to St. Stephen's or if you listen to the sermon. Forgiveness is not healing the wound lightly. Forgiveness does not say peace when there is, in fact, no peace. Forgiveness does not condone or pardon the behavior. Forgiveness is not an expectation of a future relationship with the person who has caused you harm. And forgiveness is not always possible in this life. I want to focus on the third point. Forgiveness is not an expectation of a future relationship with the person who has caused you harm this week, because that is what Jesus tells us in our gospel reading. Jesus says that if you go to the person and you try reconciliation three times, once in between yourselves, once with a small group of people, and once with a community of believers, if they still do not have reconciliation, you are not required to continue a relationship with them. You can treat them as a tax collector or a Gentile. That is Jesus' words. Essentially meaning that you have to say to them, God loves you immensely, Jesus loves you immensely, but you and I do not have a relationship anymore. That is a Christian thing to do. Jesus is saying that boundaries are important and Christian, and you deserve to have people in your life who are good and deserve to be there. It is a privilege to be a part of your life, and you are not required, because you are a Christian, to allow people who harm you to be in your life just because you are a Christian. You can tell them that Jesus loves you, but you and I do not have a relationship. The entire point of this is really hard for people to come to terms with, because we are told time and time again to forgive and often forget. We are told that Jesus forgives our sins, so we should forgive people who harm us. And there is good notion to that. There are a lot of hurts and things that people do to us that we should forgive, that we should move on from, because they're little. Maybe they're unintentional. Anyone who has had an interpersonal relationship in things like friendship or marriage knows that to have a relationship means that you sometimes need to forgive the little things that people do. I'm talking about the really big things that people do. And what Jesus is saying is that you are not required to be a part of their lives just because they are your family, or your friends, or the people that sit next to you in the pew. You are not required to continually sign up for pain and harm because you are a Christian. That is not what God has called you to do. One of the big things that I go back to in my life is John 1:1, which is, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. But it ends, John 1:1 ends with the verse that says, Jesus came so that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. You are called to have an abundant life. You deserve an abundant life. And my prayer for you is that you have people in your life that make your life feel abundant. I pray that we make your life feel abundant. I pray that St. Paul's makes your life feel abundantly good. I pray that we can be that for you. But I also want to give you permission to let go of the people in your life that are not making it abundant. And I want to assure you that God loves them. The last thing in our gospel reading that we heard today is Jesus say, when two or three are gathered, I am in the midst of them. And we take that phrase out and we apply it to a lot of different things. But here it is in its context. Jesus is saying is when there is conflict between people, he is in the midst of that conflict. He loves both parties immensely. And you can love them too. And you can step aside and let Jesus love them and not have them in your life. Amen.